Tonight we turn once again to the book of Ephesians for our study of God's Word tonight, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, we're going to begin our reading at verse 5 and then read just through verse 9 of this chapter. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 5, what we hear now is God's Word. Bond servants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, we continue tonight to talk about holiness in the life of the believer, and particularly holiness in our relationships. And tonight we turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and we read about the relationship between a bond servant and a master. Sometimes this word bondservant is simply translated by the word slaves and masters. And it may be somewhat hard for us who live in a free society to live into a text like this about what does this say about slaves and masters? How do we apply that today? But I would suggest that looking at the relationship at this time of slaves, and particularly they translate bondservants here, I think is a very good translation, it is not unlike modern-day commerce. It is not unlike the relationship between an employee and an employer. We must be careful when we read in Scripture a word like bondservant or a word like slave, that we not import into that our own understanding of slavery. Oftentimes, if we think about slavery, we think about 150 years ago or so, we think of the Civil War, we think of the Deep South, we think of mistreatment. This is a text dealing with what was going on in the first century. And in the first century, slaves, bond servants, were very much like the working class. They were doctors. They were artists. They were teachers, employed by their masters. Their masters not only owned them, but often paid them for the service they provided. In fact, a bond servant could earn his way out of that slavery. He could earn his own freedom. So it's not a text that is so far removed as we might think from our own idea today of employers and employees. And that's significant for us because the Bible, in its call to holiness, is not only a call for what we might call the private part of our life. The relationship of a husband and a wife, holiness as husband, holiness as wife. The relationship in the home of parents and children. We're talking about holiness in those relationships. But God's call to holiness affects every part of our life. It affects our public life as well, as we'll continue to see in this series. It affects what we do when we go to work this upcoming week. How do we recognize what Christ has done for us and apply that then to the work God has given us to do? We're going to talk this evening about holiness in the workplace. Paul says, "Bond servants, obey your earthly masters." And Paul is, again, very, very clear. Paul does not pull any punches. How does a bond servant show holiness in their life? They obey their masters. Paul doesn't say they should try to become free of their masters. Paul doesn't say they should organize labor unions. Paul doesn't say any of those things. He simply says you need to obey where God has placed you. Now, that might have been difficult for them to hear. These are people, Paul is writing to the church. These are those who have heard the gospel. They know that they are now free in Christ. They are free from their sins. It might be the most natural thing to say, well, we should be free in life as well. That's what Paul teaches. Paul teaches to recognize there still is an authority structure that you live under, even though you are free in Christ. We have the same thing today. We who know the truth of the gospel know that we have been set free from all of our sins, from all of our guilt. And yet God, through Christ, calls us to submit ourselves properly to those in authority over us. He calls us to be good employees of our employers as an expression of our love for Him, as a recognition of what He does. And Paul addresses both sides of the relationship. Verse 9, "Masters, do the same to them." When he says do the same, he's referring to the contents of verses 7 and 8. Basically, he's saying, "Masters, you need to treat these bond servants. You need to treat them fairly. You need to treat them rightly. You need to treat them properly." There are those of us in our congregation who are not only employees, we are employers. How do we treat those who work for us? How do we treat those who come to the office or come to the shop or come to wherever? Are we treating them with fairness? Are we treating them with respect? Are we treating them honestly? Paul deals with the beautiful balance in this relationship, that each is called to fulfill their role. The bondservant to fulfill his role, the master to fulfill his role. Even when things get difficult. Kids, there is a book in the Bible that is sort of like a picture of what Paul is talking about here. There is a book in the Bible that is written to a slave owner. And it's written because the slave ran away. And now that slave is coming back. That book in the Bible is the book of Philemon. And I'm going to read a part of Philemon. Philemon is found right before the book of Hebrews. Paul is writing to Philemon about the slave Onesimus, who has run away but is now being sent back. Paul says in verse 4 of Philemon, "I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of your faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you." He says, accordingly, because of this, because you're a brother in the Lord, "accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you, I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also of Jesus Christ, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment." Paul calls him his child. Onesimus is now a believer. He says, formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. No longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but now much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Paul is saying, I'm sending this slave back to you. And as his master, it would be very, very natural for the master to want to get some retribution. But Paul says he is now a brother in the Lord. And that relationship between you has changed. Before he was useless, but now he comes back useful. He comes back ready for more service. So verse 17, so if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he wronged you at all, and he ran away, if he wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of you owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. The book of Philemon is a case study in what Paul is talking about in Ephesians chapter 6, and especially in a difficult situation. The bondservant, the slave, has run away. But rather than take retribution, Paul says, receive him back and receive him back as a brother. These are the instructions in the relationship between bondservant and master, that there'd be this mutual concern for each other, mutual respect for each other. And the same is true in our labor relations today. Mutual respect between employer and employee. That's the what of holiness. A mutual respect. But how does that play itself out? How does that manifest itself? And Paul here in Ephesians 6 connects the service that the slave has to the master with their service to Christ. We read again in verse 5, bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. And the next verse, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of the Lord from heart. Verse 7, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. Verse 8, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is bondservant or free. Each verse saying, when you do this as unto the Lord. Do this with fear and trembling. The idea is with a way of honoring your master. Do it with a sincere heart, honoring the one who is an authority over you. How do we consider our own employers? Do we consider them with honor? Those whom God has placed over us to provide for us in very, very many ways. Do we honor them in their role? He says, do this not as eye service, not just when their eyes are on you. It really should not matter at all whether the boss is in the room or whether the boss is out of the country. We are called to labor as unto the Lord. He says, do this as goodwill as to the Lord in all of your work, wherever God has called us. If he's called us to a profession, if he's called us to clerical work, if he's called us to labor for him, whatever it might be, do your work as unto the Lord. That's our commitment. The commitment of a heart of gratitude for what God has done for us. And in response to God, we use the gifts and talents. It is this idea that motivates us. Our work is not just for this life. Our work is not just for the paycheck, but our work is unto the Lord. I'm mindful of the story I read a number of years ago of two bricklayers, two men laying bricks. and one every day would go to work with a scowl on his face, laying brick upon brick upon brick upon brick. He was simply a bricklayer. The other went to work every day with a sense of joy as he laid brick upon brick upon brick. They asked the first man, "What are you doing?" He said, "I lay brick upon brick upon brick, day after day and week after week. That's all I do." They asked the second man, "What are you doing?" He said, "I lay brick upon brick. I am involved in building a hospital that will care for the sick, that will care for the injured." And that perspective is what allowed him to go to work with joy. Same work, same labor. But one saw it simply as a task, and one saw it as a means to serve others. God has given us gifts. He's given us talents to use in the service of his kingdom. Not just labor, but to use in the service of the king. Now, sometimes it's harder for us to see how our work is kingdom labor, but we need to look for that, to know that we are not just serving an employer, we are serving our master in heaven. The Reformed commentator Hendrickson has this beautiful quote. He says, "We must look beyond our master, lowercase m, and see our master, uppercase m." We must look beyond the mundane, beyond the everyday, beyond brick upon brick. We must look to see how God is using our gifts and talents to expand the glory of his kingdom. This is the way the bondservant serves the master with a wholehearted commitment. And masters too. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening. Stop being overbearing. Stop asking too much. Recognize what they can do and what they can't do. Be ready to receive the service that they give and receive them back as a slave run away, even when they don't do well. Be ready to treat them well and trust them well. And, you know, these biblical principles of holiness in these relationships, many of these, even the world understands, even the world gets. I used to be in the restaurant business. I used to be both an employee and an employer. I was employed by the restaurant company, and I had a staff who worked for me. And you find out very, very quickly when you take care of your staff, when you care about your staff, when you're concerned about your staff, they want to work for you, and they will give you the best of their energy. It is when you are harsh that it becomes difficult. Even the world gets that. We in the church should surely see that. If we are an employer, that we care for our employees, that we show the love of Christ to them in the calling God has given to them, that we do this wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. And then Paul shifts their focus even farther. He says, we have to recognize we are working not just for this life, but for the life to come. Again, verse 5, bondservants, obey your earthly masters. As a recognition, they have a heavenly master. They are first of all slaves of Christ, and their eternal destiny is to be with him forever. Verse 9 again, masters, do the same for them. Stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven. The masters have a heavenly master, and their thoughts are turned toward that. To recognize that there is an eternal motivation in the work that they do. Yes, Christ has come and done everything necessary to secure their salvation. He has given them these tasks, these talents, and they are to use them in the service to him. And God in his love and his goodness will return some of that blessing. We read this interesting in verse 8. Do all these things, rendering service with a good will, as to the Lord, not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord. Whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord. And I hope even as I read that, your reformed spidey sense starts tingling just a little bit. We're going to receive something back from the Lord because of what we have done? We recognize Paul here is not in the context of our justification. Paul is not in the context of being saved. If we work well, God will choose to save us. That's not what he's saying. No, our salvation is found in Christ alone. But because it is in Christ alone, and because we have been saved, we now want to work in a way that brings glory to God. And when we do that, God is faithful that we might receive back from him. He's talking to the church. He's not talking about evangelism. He says, do your work well. And there are a number of texts in Scripture that talk about receiving a blessing from our Master then in heaven. We are blessed by God when we faithfully do the work he's called us to do. Blessed in this life and blessed in the life to come. Holiness flows from the fact that we have been saved. And when we use our gifts and talents, God is pleased to bless that to us now and to bless that to us in the future. Holiness in the workplace. How do we choose the labor we're going to do? And I'd like to speak really especially maybe to the younger folks in the congregation. You're considering a job, what you want to do in your life. How will you make that choice? What factors will you consider? What will get me, you know, a lot of money? What will get me a lot of prestige? Where can I boss other people around? Is that what we're looking for? Or are we recognizing the gifts and talents God has given to us and how we are to work? I would suggest, in a certain sense, what we choose to do is not as important as how we choose to do it. Now, to be sure, we do choose that what in terms of the giftedness we have, but how we choose to serve the Lord in the calling, in the place, in the office, in the field, in wherever God has placed us, how we choose to work for him, recognizing our service to him is a response of what he has done for us. Holiness in the workplace. Holiness that recognizes the finished work of Christ, that he has done all necessary to give us life in this life and life to come. And he continues to do so. He continues to call us to put our faith and trust in him, to know him as Lord and Savior, and as Lord and Savior, as our new master, to live out the implications of our salvation, not only in our personal life, not only in our private life, but in our communal life with those around us. Whether we are employer, whether we are employee, working as unto the Lord. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we do want to recognize your call on our life. We recognize that you place us where you want us to serve you, and you gift us in various ways. And we are to use those gifts not only in service to our earthly masters, but in service to you as well. Lord God, give us a joy in our vocation. May we not simply go day after day to lay brick upon brick, but may we see what you are doing, what you are building, and take joy that we are a part of your kingdom and a part of seeing the glory of Christ come in even more fullness. Lord God, encourage us, strengthen us, use us as you've equipped. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.